for this great honor to be invited here. I must find page down here. Okay, that's perfect. So everybody knows what happens in weak measurement, say on a spin half particle. Say you measure sigma x, you get an outcome, a real number sigma, and you can have post selection, or you may have no post selection at all. So that's the no post selection case, that the post selection case. Now, this is a clear picture. What happens if we do a second sigma x measurement on the same system, another weak measurement? Okay, the second time it results in some different number sigma prime, and now I'm interested in the arithmetic mean of sigma times sigma prime taken on a large ensemble of repeated double weak measurements. Now, what you guess in that case? You have any guess for the result? I mean, what is the correlation going to be without post-selection? Okay, that's always one. And if you do post-selection, it may become any large number, 1 billion. That's 1 million, yeah. Okay, now let's go into the more systematic study of sequential weak measurements. That's my plan. That's a short reinterpretation of weak measurement philosophy in R-sharp imprecise measurement on a given state row. The post-measurement state may preserve some well-defined features of the pre-measurement one. The imprecision of the measurement can be compensated by a larger ensemble of repeated measurements. Weak measurement means just the asymptotic limit of zero precision, when this number A, which characterizes the precision, the unsharpness, would go to the infinity, and I take in principle an infinite large statistics to compensate the loss of precision. Then the pre-measurement state rho will invariably survive the measurement. This we call non-invasiveness. Weak measurement was invented and used by there's a history beyond this verb. Fizev letters pressed me to replace invented by some weaker statement. So the weak measurement was invented by AAB in 1988 as a non-invasive quantum measurement between pre- and post-selected states, respectively. But, and this is my point, non-invasiveness of the weak measurement is a remarkable feature, both with and without post-selection. And it can be maintained for a succession of weak measurements on a single quantum system. So that's the topics of my talk. Okay, let's ignore post-selection first. A with the hat is the measured quantity. A without the hat is the outcome. Bold M stands for statistical mean, and bracket stands for the quantum expectation value of the observable. Now, it's known that the mean of the outcome A in a single measurement, single weak measurement, is the correct quantum expectation value. It was known in the literature that if I do a weak measurement on A with the hat and the weak measurement on B with the hat in this order, then the result is the symmetrized quantum expectation value. The order of A and B does not matter. Let's go further, include a third measurement, ABC. You see that in triple sequential weak measurement, the order matters. Only the two latest weak measurements are interchangeable. That was known to Babnosh and Belzig some years ago already. Now, that's the general result. If you do a sequence of n weak measurements on the same system, then the arithmetic mean of the outcomes on a large statistics, that's the experimental object. That is what you take, measure in your lab. It is equal to this stepwise symmetrized quantum correlation function. let me repeat it, the correlation of sequential weak measurement outcomes equals to the stepwise symmetrized quantum correlation function of the same operators. Ordering in sequential weak measurements matters, but the last two ones are always interchangeable. A sufficient condition of full interchangeability is like this. So the commutator of the observables in question must yield C numbers. Then the stepwise symmetrization becomes full symmetrization over all permutations of the n observables. That's an important subclass because, as you know, if Q and P are canonical pair of variables, and my observables considered in a sequence of weak measurements, sequence of weak measurements on a single system, are linear combinations of Q and P with the hat, then the third condition is satisfied, and stepwise symmetrization becomes complete symmetrization. And in case of canonical variables or linear combinations of them, this amounts to Weil ordering. Now, from elsewhere, from textbooks, we know that Weil ordered correlation functions of Q and P coincide with the pseudo-classical correlation functions, moments of the corresponding Wigner function. So we summarize the our result for sequential measurements of canonical variables like this. The weak measurement correlation function equals to the Wigner correlation function of the same variables. I introduced the short notation. That was also known to Bedros and Belzig for the lowest non-trivial case with n equal 2. This makes, in principle, possible a direct tomography of the quantum state by sequential weak measurements via the moments of the Wigner function. This is a tricky issue, whether you can do tomography estimating the moments of the Wigner function, but this let me not discuss this very tricky issue. Now here we have an example sequential weak measurements. I do measure Q twice and P twice in any order, and if I apply the obtained equation, I get the following. This is trivial that if I am interested in the Wignerian mean, which is a quantum mean of the coordinate, then I can use either the first, either the mean, statistical mean of the first coordinate measurement, or the second one. Likewise for the expectation value of P. Now, if I'm interested in the second moment, second Wignerian moment of Q, then I can use this correlation between the first and the second coordinate measurements. Similarly for the momentum, if I am interested in the cross correlation between Q and P, then I have 1, 2, 3, 4 choices to increase my statistics. And this four-step sequential measurement allows me to estimate this third-order correlation function Q square P, like here, and only one fourth-order correlation function can be obtained on the basis of this sequential four-step sequential weak measurement, and that's it. Might be useful in tomography. Now let's turn to spin half observables. I just changed notations for the Paulis. A1 is sigma 1, A2 is sigma 2, and so on. And sigma k is just polarization along direction ek, where ek is a three vectors, three unit vector. Now the outcomes are denoted by sigma 1, sigma 2, sigma n. If I apply general rule, I get this. This is the same in terms of sigmas that I showed you in terms of A's. Now the surprise is that I'm not really sure whether it is known or it is new for you, but this expression is valid if I did strong measurements. Sequential strong measurements are trivial, but and anyone in the audience can calculate the correlation functions of sequential strong sigma measurements. But the fact that the correlation functions can be cast into this form, which is identical to the weak measurement case, this may be new. So I offered here some short derivation of this form for the strong measurement case. You may ignore it. We don't have time to see it. Maybe this is the key identity which you can use to prove this formula for strong measurement as well. Now, let us evaluate the right-hand side here, which I mentioned is valid for weak and strong sequential measurements as well. And the surprise is this, that if n is even, then the result is totally independent of the state. It depends only on the chosen polarization directions. If n is odd, then the only state-dependent part is this. Only the first measurement result is state-dependent. The rest of the correlation function is constrained by kinematics of the chosen detectors. Okay, so let me summarize. The correlations are kinematically constrained. If n is even, then the correlations are independent of the state. If n is odd, the correlation depend on rho, but by sigma 1. Now, I was for a while hesitating whether sequential weak measurements are really possible in the laboratory, and I'm not too knowledgeable about different labs. Yeah.
Last August, we realized the sequential weak measurement, and after that, three other experiments. During the last year, this was the year of sequential weak measurement. So, three other experiments realized sequential weak
Yeah,
measurement in the lab.
that's great to know. So for a long time, I thought that I wouldn't be able to present any practical aspects of this simple theory of sequential measurements. But then I discovered that time continuous measurement, which was greatly invoked by Justin and maybe someone else, I may have forgotten. Yeah, sure. So this is not ultimately strange for this audience, mostly engaged in foundations, because TCM, the time continuous measurement, is just standard in theory. And it is very standard in the labs. It hadn't been so until, say, 10, 15 years ago, or 20 years ago, when I got engaged in TCM theories. Now, TCMs, that's the third bullet, that TCMs have a weak measurement regime. Now, let's have some equation. Consider the time continuous measurement of a Heisenberg observable, T. Now, discrete K became a continuous variable T in state row. And now the outcomes, called the signal, are a continuous, very nice function of time, denoted by AT. And that's mathematics. In standard theory of TCM, the outcome, the measurement outcome, is fluctuating around the quantum mean, quantum expectation value of the observable in question. And the noise is white noise, and it is its strength is square root of alpha, where alpha is a parameter of TCM, and it is called the precision or unsharpness of the TCM. In the traditional literature, 1/alpha is called the strength of TCM. But I prefer latest times, I prefer to change for the using the precision parameter. Now, TCM is in general invasive. If you monitor your qubit or whatever or squid, you will invade it. But there is a regime, an initial regime, where TCM remains non-invasive, and that's the condition. Here, that's the spread, the quantum spread of the monitored observable in the given state in function of time. So the average spread must be slower than the precision times t. Okay. That's the regime where TCM represents sequential weak measurements. So we can apply our results to the signal, to the signal's autocorrelation, and we got equations like this. So you have your signal, your random signal in your lab, And you can test if this theory of sequential weak measurements satisfies or it does not. This is the second order autocorrelation function. That's the third order autocorrelation function, incorporating the notorious non-interchangeability of the order of the observables. So at least in principle, we have a field of time continuous measurements where we can directly test whether such equations are satisfied or are not. Okay. Imagine you measure a two-level system, a qubit. You can immediately test. Imagine you monitor your time contents and measure your qubit. You must be able to test whether this autocorrelation function is state independent, as the theory predicts. Now let's come to path selection. Some years ago, we generalized the tradition, the historical concept of path selection for mixed state path selections as well. It's not really a big deal. I don't really know what might come out of this generalization, but at least I prefer to present this expression, which is between your laboratory stuff. You take the statistics, the outcome statistics, you do path selection on, in the mixed case of mixed state path selection, the post-selection is characterized by a non-negative operator P, which is smaller than the unity. So that's the generalization of the traditional weak traditional pure state post-selection. Now, I will leave it now, and I will restrict myself for the tradition for the simplest case with pure state, pre and post selection using the traditional notations. And then I forgot to put it there. Yeah, it's Michis and Yuza and Popescu introduced the sequential weak values in this form. And what is important for me, I'm just invoking their result, that, look again, that's in your lab. You calculate, you take the statistics, you calculate the post-selected correlation functions, and they must be equal to the theoretical prediction, like here, in terms of quadratic forms of the just introduced sequential weak values, where the quadratic forms include a partition, include all partitions of the indices, where after the partition, you must retain the ordering for the subensembles here and there. And you, as Michizan, Yuza, and Popescu warn you, you must include the degenerate partitions where you have zero weak measurement here and all the other n end measurements are included there, or vice versa. Now, of course, for n equal 1, that must reduce, and it does, to the AAV 88. What happens? The next step with n equals 2. It contains a new paradox, maybe weaker, maybe not so surprising than the original one. I call it reselection paradox. Yeah? Because I prefer to introduce this new special way of special post-selection when you reselect the initial state. Allow me to call it reselection. Now, for a single weak measurement, which is not the sequential one, which is the historic one, reselection is equivalent in all respects, with no post-selection at all. In equations, it means that if you take the non-post-selected statistics of outcomes, you calculate the mean, it equals to the statistics taken on the reselection subensemble, and both of them are represented by the theoretical mean of the observable A. Now, weak measurements are non-invasive. Therefore, we would expect that reselection and no post-selection are equivalent, but they are not. And already for n equal n 2, and for simple repetition, duplication of a single measurement, when A1 and A2 are the same, A, already in that special case, we get some anomaly, some paradox. It's very easy. Without post-selection, the correlation function of A1, A2, this means the outcome of the first measurement of A with the hat, the outcome A2 without the hat is the outcome of the second measurement of the same observable on the same system. So the correlation function is just this. Remember, if A1 and A were different, then you should have taken the symmetrized product of A1 and A2 with the hat. Now, since they are identical, you get the square of them, square of A here. Now, what happens if you do reselection? You get a different result. You get a different result. You can derive it in a few seconds, few minutes, pardon. Now, if you compare this and that, you see that reselection decreases the simple correlation function by half of the quantum uncertainty of the operator observable A in the given state I. Look at this. Now, this unexpected anomaly roots in the finite contribution of the outcomes discarded by reselection. So now I'm going to go into the details. I consider unsharp measurements before the asymptotic weak measurement limit. If the measurement is just unsharp, characterized by unsharpness parameter A, lowercase a, then I have finite rate of discards. And the reselected correlation functions can be obtained from the non-postselected, non-reselected correlation functions if I destruct, how do you call it in English? Is if I destruct,
subtract.
This expression in the weak measurement limit. Now, in the weak measurement limit, the rate of discards goes to zero. What happens to the correlation function in the weak measurement limit on the discarded events? If it stays finite, then we have no correction. If it diverges, we have a correction. And this is the case with the sequential measurements. For a single weak measurement, that's quantity is finite. So the correction is zero in the weak measurement limit. Okay, let's take an example. A single weak measurement of sigma x, the outcome is sigma 1 with reselection in this state, which is the sigma z equal 1 state. The rate of discards is 1 over 4 times a square. It goes to zero, of course. What is important is that the arithmetic mean of the outcomes under discarded statistics is zero in this case. Hence, the correction is zero anyway, so we have no anomaly. Now, if I have a double weak measurement of sigma x with the outcomes sigma 1 and sigma 2 respectively, I do the same reselection. The rate of discards is twice it was before. It goes to zero, as it should. But the correlation of the outcomes on the discarded statistics is equals to the unsharpness parameter, square of the unsharpness, and it diverges in the weak measurement limit. And if we put this and that together, we get the 1/2, which is exactly the correction, the anomaly we found as the difference between the no post-selection correlation of in double weak measurements on one hand and the reselection and the correlation in reselection on the other hand. Okay. Whether this is an important anomaly or it is not, I don't really know. There is a bypassed anomaly here, and this is that under discarded statistics, this correlation function diverges. This is very similar to the historic weak value anomaly, where the mean is diverging if the initial and the final selected states come close to be orthogonal. Now, this discarded statistics means this means the same, that they correspond, the discarded statistics correspond to the to the historic choice when f is very close to the orthogonal of I. I really forget how many. No, I don't have any. So, okay, that's the literature, and I wouldn't mind if at least some people pay some attention to my mini review of weak measurements here, because it is more or less ignored by the community. And the novel parts of my talk will appear in PhysRev A after it was refused by PRL, even if they included four different referees. Okay, the possibility that in TCM, in time conscious measurement, you can really test sequential measurements won't be part of the paper, because I found it out here in Perimeter, in maybe during the lectures, maybe in my hotel bed. So thank you very much.
I would like to comment a bit and also ask something about your understanding of this paradoxical situation, because from the research we have done is on sequential measurements that are not weak. And I think the term you have here for us is simply the lowest order of the back action, which accumulates. So there is a bit of a problem of making your series expansion converge. I don't think you should actually say that there is no, that's non-invasive. Because when you analyze the statistics, the very fact that you can get discarded events, that in my opinion would be a back action effect. So it means an effect of the measurement interaction.
The non-invasiveness is there, because in the weak measurement limit, you don't have any, In the you don't have discarded events in the weak measurement limit.
No correlations anymore. I mean the order of it experimentally.
Yeah.
The order of the contrast of your correlations is actually the same order as the back action effect. So it goes down together. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's a language problem. You're using a much more mathematical language, and I've been working with experimentalists mm-hmm. on that. So
it happens.
It happens. It causes a lot of misunderstandings.
Yeah.
That may be something to consider, because we're probably much closer in our work than it may appear when you look at papers. I like your approach, and it's very fascinating, but sometimes it would be good to make the languages more similar. So sequential measurements that are not weak are also highly interesting in that context, I think.
Yeah, sure.
Mm. We can talk a bit more.
Another question earlier, but I love the result. I just like to suggest one application which you asked for. Maybe some years ago, Resnick and his student suggested not only state tomography, but also process tomography. So using sequential weak measurement, you can learn what is an unknown dynamics without changing it.
I'm very happy that I hear your talk now, because now I will have to add the citation. For a long time, I saw that really, in the case when you cross-select the state which is pre-selected, it really doesn't make a difference. But I changed my opinion that in fact the talk with LG will say that it's not the same case. So your reselection paradox is really, in fact, it's kind of. I had one slide after my talk, in which I ask audience, can you explain the paradox? And this is more or less your reselection paradox. Mm-hmm. But for one remark, in a sense, I will also say that for n equal 1, it's also there is a difference. It will look more carefully in your weak measurement.
Really?
Just you're not in the loop, but you're out.
In terms of what?
It could be 2 hours, so.
Yeah, so first of all, thanks for the lovely talk. And this is very exciting that you show these slides right now, because as you mentioned, we're now doing these experiments in the lab. The correlation functions you're talking about, the multi-time correlations, we've checked them. Both theoretically with the stochastic master equation approach, we can derive them independently. They match your results. We checked them experimentally, they also match your results. So you can check that off your list, first of all.
Yeah.
We've tested them and it works. and also, there's a lot more coming on that front. So thanks for reminding us about your citations here. So we'll be sure to include them.
Yes, so yeah, thanks for the nice talk. I wondered if you wanted to comment about this paper by Bednaretz and Belzig. They discover something I think similar, which is if you take just a three correlation function with non-invasive, and you think it's non-invasive and you time reverse it, sort of by the school we've been talking about here, you think it's time reversal invariant, but in fact it's not because of this sort of cumulative effect of 3 meter measurements. I think it's very close related to your reselection. Maybe you could say a few words about
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
Okay. If anyone has any remark to my reference list of references, you are welcome. I mean, if I need to add some papers, yeah.
Yeah, just a little note on that. I was missing a little bit. Bednaretz and Belzig had this very nice new Journal of Physics paper. I think that was almost the original one, and it's not on the list here. You have the Physical of Letters and the Physical of A, right?
Yes.
But there's also a new Journal of Physics that's a little bit more into detail. I thought.
I have still time to revise the proof, so I can still include.
Yeah, just a very nice paper for anybody who's interested in the new Journal of Physics.
Okay, I think we should close here, so let's thank.